the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter. Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to Wisecracking with Winter. I'm Mike Winter, and it's good to be me. And it's good to be in the funhouse, because today I got a great guest. I got a big find. I got a guy that doesn't get on a microphone very often, and his name is Richie Barrister. Richie Barrister is a lawyer. Richie, hello.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. I'm glad you're here in the funhouse.
It is a funhouse. It's there's a lot of pink. Seen a lot of pink.
Describe the funhouse for the
listening audience.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big sign that says Twinkle on the side. So that's a good reminder for the guests to keep a good twinkle. And then there's another sign that says Laundry Room. And then we're surrounded by various. There's the Bowflex that was referenced by John Pizzle in episode 3.
You're sitting on the same couch that John Pizzle was on.
Yeah, I can feel his imprint there.
Are you in the wet spot?
Yeah. I flipped the cushion before I sat down.
That's good thinking.
So it's nice. You can do a lot of different things in this room.
I can do a lot of things in this room. But what we're going to do today is we're going to take apart me for the listening audience. It's a smart guy. This other guy named... Don't worry, I'll cut that out. Richie is a smart guy. He has 2 degrees. What are your degrees in?
Bullshit.
I've got a degree in mathematics. I don't want to tell about my degree. I don't want to get my resume, dude.
This is an interview.
I know, but I mean, you know,
I just mathematics and law.
Yeah, you sound douche. I don't want to sound douchey though.
It doesn't make a shit.
Given my credentials and shit.
Well, yeah. Seeing how you went to National American University, I wouldn't be bragging about it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was a correspondence course. I had to do a series of 20 coloring books.
Ooh.
And you know, you send them in, and if you stay within the lines, then you get a degree.
Are you going to follow that up at the University of Arizona Phoenix online for your master's?
We'll see.
Yeah. So you're a learned man. I'm probably the smartest guy I've had in here so far. No offense, John.
I'm a man of letters.
You're a man of many talents.
Speaking of other guests, and I don't know if you would edit this out later or not, but you had told me that a mutual friend of ours that, you know, that you did one and that you aborted. Have you told him? Have you broken the news to him that his episode didn't make the cut?
Have I let Paul Lambie know that he's an abortion? I did a show with Paul. It was very early on in my podcast career. So we're talking like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And we did a show together and it just didn't fucking work out.
Like, what happened?
We were talking about just like national news.
Yeah.
It was like... It was just like a news hour.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of comedy aside from I threw in some drops from a porn actress talking about her vagina.
Bing, bang, bing.
Without him knowing about it. You know, it didn't really work out, but I look forward to doing another one with him now that we got the trial run out of the way.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I would think that you guys would be like comedy gold, you know, together.
We are comedy gold. Yeah. But there's a lot of rust on them wheels on that old car.
Comedy copper.
Who haven't sat together in a studio. My friend Paul and I did a public access show together in the 90s called Minneapolis Uncensored.
Okay.
You can find it nowhere. I got some VHS tapes underneath my bed.
Oh, really? You never put that on the web?
No. My second effort at public access TV, I did put it on the web, and that's Twisted TV. You can find that.
Yeah.
MN Twisted TV.
Yeah.
Yahoo. Or no. YouTube.
Well, just to get right into it, we talked a little bit before we started recording, but that was what I wanted to, you know, I've made an extensive list of notes here today about some stuff that I want to talk to you about. And since you started bringing up your previous projects, I know the podcast is a new project and you've had a bunch of different projects in the past. So I wanted to get into that with you. It's not very funny at this point, but I mean,
I'll make it funny.
Okay. So, you know, going back, and for any listeners who aren't familiar with Mike's work, you know,
it's a literal treasure trove.
Yeah. Like both of them.
Of moderate success.
Listen, you two guys go out there and look for, because I remember we got together a couple years ago and you showed me the video that you had done of Dateline To Catch a Predator Bestiality Edition.
Right. Huge commercial success. Yeah. Over 100,000.
Was it?
Clicks, yeah, on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and because I thought that thing was funny. I was like, this is as funny as anything, you know, that you'd see on a sketch show. You know what I mean? It's just as funny. And like the details and just different stuff. It was hilarious.
Thank you. You can find that at MN Twisted TV on YouTube.
Right. So I was thinking about that and like coming down here. Because I went on one of your old shows. Which show did I did go on one of
you? You went on Minneapolis Uncensored, a public access show,
yeah,
that we did in Minneapolis.
Yeah, obviously. And that was cool. That was pretty fun. But that was like pre-internet era, right?
Well, the internet was around, but it was all modem back then.
I mean, there wasn't a World Wide Web back then.
Yeah, when there was.
What year was that?
Oh, that would be 1997 or 8.
Okay. So the internet is like in its infancy.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like today where every piece of video is online.
Exactly. Everything in your life is online.
Right. Somewhere. So like, I mean, if you were on public access, you know, you weren't going to get, it wasn't like there's a potential for like my daughter to see it.
There was still a potential to get in trouble, which I did.
Yeah.
On a few occasions with the city of Minneapolis attorney's office.
Did you really?
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Oh, well, I don't want to, well, I don't fucking care. It was a call-in show, live call-in show.
Yeah.
So I got a call from some douchebag who said some pretty horrible things about homosexuals.
Okay.
I hung up on him.
Yeah. Not a guy you know.
No, I have no idea who that
it
was.
It wasn't
a bit. It wasn't something I wrote and then told somebody to call.
Right.
Some psycho called.
Right.
And said this.
Right.
Well, the city of Minneapolis attorney's office took a, you know, exception to that.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they sent me some letter saying that they're going to kick me off the air for a month to let things settle down. Yeah. I don't think things really got worked up. It was a 2-second phone call that I hung up on.
Yeah,
so that was that little bit of trouble. And then I got kicked off several other times for language and for inappropriate videos that I'd play during the show and a laundry list. I deserved it every time.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you don't push the envelope, what's the point? You're going to end up, you know, it might as well be the Home Shopping Channel.
Right. Well, so this is my sort of, because I think that, you know, we started to talk about this before. To me, it's a weird thing as we're going, and I'm really surprised by myself that I didn't think I would have trouble with it. But like, as we get older and there's more technology, like I used to always say, like, I'm so glad there was no camera phones. Like when I was in my 20s, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that would be horrible, you know, if, you know, just in terms of like horseshit behavior that I had and stupid, you know, just doing dumb shit, you know, and as well as for like criminal and civil liability. Like, I'm just glad that there's no records of that kind of stuff.
You're almost paranoid.
Well, it's not that I'm paranoid, but it, well, I mean, it's just, I sometimes think, here's the thing, like, I don't participate in social media, really. You know, I don't have a Facebook account.
What are you, some kind of goddamn weirdo?
No, do you have one?
Oh, yeah.
I just was like...
Several.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I was just always like, Facebook is for chicks.
It used to be, in the infancy. You know, when everybody was moving off of MySpace to Facebook, it was all chicks on MySpace.
Right.
Chicks and pedophiles.
Right.
They're all on MySpace.
Right.
And then they all moved on over to Facebook.
Right.
And I didn't jump on right away.
But you didn't want people to know you were a pedophile, so when they started moving.
I'd keep quiet.
When they started moving.
I served my time. A disclaimer, I'm not a pedophile.
Okay.
But no, I did jump on eventually, and then when I did, I was glad I did it. I mean, I reconnected with a lot of old friends that I hadn't spoken with in years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more that I'm just maybe it's not that I'm against the technology, it's just that I'm antisocial. So being social media is not good.
You had a lot of friends in high school.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
and you're a bit of a cocksman.
Well, the point is, so I don't have a Facebook. I have a Twitter, but it's blocked, so like no one can read my tweets.
What's the point?
So that I can like read other shit. You know what I mean?
Do you have an underground bunker?
Yeah. So, you know, so it's just so I can like see other, I mean, at this point it's like really just so I can, Twitter's pretty much garbage. There's like there's nothing really worthwhile.
It's not on Twitter.
No, it's just everybody. It's just people like during the Grammys, everybody's trying to make jokes, you know?
Right.
So whatever. So
I just did a Grammy show, by the way. Thanks.
Yeah. So, and then like you and I worked on this project, whatever it was, 2 years or last summer, whenever that was.
Last summer.
Okay. So to tell the audience about this one. I'm a big fan of Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Great show.
So, but the thing that I thought was interesting about it was like anybody could make this show. It's super basic. The technology is available, right?
Right.
So I was like, what if somebody made a show called Jerk Offs and Jalopies Getting Java, where it was just not famous. You know, because I heard another comedian, Dave Attell, said about the Seinfeld show, it should be called Millionaires Wearing Seatbelts. And so, you know, my thing was like, well, you could just make the same show with a couple of jerk-offs in just a regular car, and it would just be basically the same thing, right?
Sure.
So we made that, and then during the course of the filming it, we're driving around, and there's like, I made a remark in that thing that was like, roguish. Yeah. Like, really highly offensive.
And something I'd say.
Yeah, or something I would say. Like, something I would say in private on the phone. Like, I say roguish shit on the phone, right? Like, when you and I are talking, or like, when I'm talking to, like, you know, I have a handful of, like, 3-4 guys that I talk to regularly on the phone, pick up the phone, just call them just to shoot the shit and just try to crack jokes and shit.
Right.
But that's why that project is probably never going to see the light of day, because
edit that part out.
Well, I should just edit that part out, I suppose. But anyway, point being, I'm constantly going in my head of like, don't, like, to me, I'm, and this is what I wanted to ask you, is okay, what is the fucking purpose of doing these projects and recording them when, from my perspective, all I think is like, no good can come of this.
You know? Plenty of good can come of it. Laughs.
Yeah.
You're dealing out laughs to people that might be having a bad day.
Yeah.
Or suicidal.
Right.
Chronic masturbators.
Right.
A lot of people out there need help.
Right.
Or Richie. Fuck, I got a lot of editing to do. And you just do it. I mean, okay.
Just do this. You can just use my name and just bleep it, because that would be funny. Just keep fucking bleeping it through the whole fucking thing.
No, I guess you consider me an artist. You know, I don't paint.
Yeah.
I guess I paint with my mouth.
It's BS.
Right.
You know? I'm an artist. I like telling jokes and being funny and
right,
and those type of things. And I went to school for broadcasting. I was on the radio. You know, this is my medium.
Right.
And if I'm not doing something like this, then like a small part of me dies. You know? The part that wants to get out and entertain. Like the best sound in the whole world to me is somebody else laughing.
Yeah.
You know? There's just some people that are wired that way.
Right.
You know, most comedians are, you know, broken on the inside, let's be honest.
Right. You know? But then why don't you, so my thing would be, and this is, I kind of ask it myself, because like, obviously I'm here now participating in the podcast, right?
Right.
But so why, what is the difference of doing it on the mic and recording it and putting it on the internet versus just calling somebody on the phone and just shooting the
show? There is no difference. It's just it's fun to do a show and to put it out there and have people listen, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Maybe. I have no idea how many people listen to it. I guess I don't care.
Right.
But I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people who have listened to it.
Right.
That really enjoy it.
Right.
So, and I really enjoy doing it. I enjoy the show itself. I enjoy the editing.
Yeah.
I enjoy all of it.
Right.
I enjoy creating something from nothing.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's your own. Yeah. It's like you're making I guess the podcast, like an episode of the podcast is like an object that you're creating versus a passing conversation that you have on the phone.
Right. It's a piece of clay that I mold with my hands.
I can dig it. Paint it with your mouth.
With my mouth.
Paint with your mouth.
My ass, my cock.
Dude, I'm going to remember that for a long time. Paint it with your mouth.
Do that.
Well, and so that, you know, before I sent you a couple days ago, and I don't know, I was going to, I didn't write down the guy's name, but that City Pages.
I read the goddamn article, and I found it highly offensive. I mean, what an asshole. Maybe I'll look it up quick if you want to just tell the kids at home what it was about.
Yeah, because we had talked about, okay, I'll come out and be on the podcast, and then this guy, you know, City Pages guy, and I don't read City Pages, but I found it on Twitter.
A lot of people don't read it.
Yeah, I came across on Twitter, and it was like, you know, somebody, which, first of all, who fucking writes to a columnist to ask, like, should I do a podcast? Like, who is this guy who's, like, the arbiter of podcasts?
Yeah.
So,
for the most part. His name, I got his name. It's Drew Iles.
Right.
Who is an outspoken degenerate who recently ate a mint chocolate candy bar he found on the ground during a mosh pit. If you don't like his advice, then why the hell did you ask? God, isn't he witty?
No.
So anyway, I don't know if you want to read it or if you just want me to sum it up.
Why don't you sum it up?
Essentially, it was somebody wrote in saying, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. What do you think? And then he goes, don't bother. It's just a waste of time. No one's going to listen. No one's going to listen. You're never going to get famous. So
you're going to get discouraged within a year when nobody gives a shit about it. And then you're going to give up.
Yeah, that's a quote, right?
Yeah, and then after you give up, it will sit in your personal graveyard of failure and inadequacy.
Right.
Its creative corpse will forever gaze at your future corpse. What a fucking dick.
And then, but go on, because then there's a little epilogue, right? Yeah, because doesn't he shift gears then and say, unless you're the kind of person who...
But that's probably not you. If you were actually a person brimming with passion, you'd probably just decide to do it rather than asking me for some sort of reassurance.
Right. So that's what I was like, well, that's what Mike does.
Right. I don't care. I don't ask anybody.
You don't
care.
You don't give a shit.
No.
Right. And so is this, so now going back to, okay, so now there's the social media world that's like held for posterity. And then there's just, as you move through regular life. And like, as long as I've known you, when we hang out, I know that you'll say outlandish shit because you know I get fucking wormy about it and fucking, you know, like uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's part of the appeal for you.
It's part of the fun.
Right. Which I like it too, but then also, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh Christ, you're crossing the line. And I'm just like, please, I don't.
There are no lines.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, there are lines though.
They're lines if you want to acknowledge that they exist.
Well, right, but I mean, there's not, you know, there's lines of, like, common decorum between
people. In an office, yeah.
Or in a restaurant.
No, there's not. Everybody's there at the restaurant to have a good time.
Right, but I mean, you're not, it's not like, you're not putting on a stand-up routine. You're, like, haggling with the manager about some shit, you know. Point being,
the world is a stage,
right? But okay, so that's sort of what I wanted. So basically, when I'm not around and you're just trying to make me like squirm,
yeah,
are you this, is this how you approach everyday life? Like, do you cock off to your boss at work?
I have. But just like in a joking manner.
Right.
Because that's the reputation I have.
Right.
Winners is a smartass.
Right, right.
It's good and it's bad.
Right.
I can get away with saying horrible things.
Right.
But I'm never going to be taken 100% seriously.
Right.
You know, that's the rub.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm not a dumb person, you know? So sometimes...
I'm not a smart man.
I'm not a smart man, Jenny. Yeah. But I know where the dick goes. In her AIDS-ridden pussy. Poor Forrest.
So
one piece of badge that he gets.
And did she have AIDS in that?
Yes. She died of AIDS.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty dark, dude. I didn't realize
that. It's a dark film, dude. Really dark.
Oh.
What were we talking about?
Just, I don't know. Just like, when, you know, I find myself in an environment, a work environment.
You're a lawyer.
Where, right. Right, but here's, but I have worked in law offices where, you know, I worked for a guy who was like fucking funny, outspoken, said shit. I could say what I want. I could talk how I want, right?
And he's not going to get offended.
No. I mean, he might, if you say something that he thinks is roguish, he would fucking say it. Just like I would, you know, like I've said to shit for you,
right.
To you before, like, dude, that's fucking...
Ever since 1991.
Right.
Yeah. Keep
it, yeah. So, but it's not very much. Whereas, like, in... it's, I feel like the environment I've been in for the last however many years is, like, it's... Everything is just a surface level, and everything is... inappropriate.
Everybody's a fake.
Yeah.
Basically.
You couldn't say...
Nobody is genuine.
If you said someone was a bitch...
Right.
Someone would say, that's not okay. That's not appropriate language.
It's not. In an office, it's not. It's like a different culture. It's an office culture.
Right. Right.
They all can't be themselves in an office. I've seen it before.
Right.
Dozens of times. You know what? You know, I'm not going to talk about my line of work or where I work, but I'm in and out of a lot of offices, you know? And sometimes we refer to them as, like, prairie dogs, because they're all in cubes, and they just kind of pop their heads up to see what's going on. Ooh, something new is going on.
Right,
let's take a look around. What's going on? Ooh, it's something new. Something shiny.
Then they see their shadow and go back in.
And then they hide.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you'll get the brave ones that'll come away from the cube.
Yeah.
And they'll want to start some kind of fakery conversation with you about the weather.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've had people ask me, so what's it like out there today?
Oh, I have no fucking time, dude. I have no
Look out the goddamn window. Or stay warm out there.
Right.
It's okay, I'll try. I wasn't going to. I was going to run around naked, but...
Right.
Now that you gave me that great piece of advice...
Right. Right.
It's just that bullshit I don't have time for.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
If you want to say something genuine to me, say something genuine to me.
Right.
I don't have time for your office horseshit.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's like. The conversation in my office is, what did you do last weekend? How was your weekend? What'd you do?
Uh-huh.
Right? Then Wednesday rolls around. Almost coming up to the weekend. Glad the week... Oh, we're halfway done. Then starting like end of day Thursday, Friday morning, what are you doing this weekend? You know?
Because they never really listened the first time when you gave them an answer.
Right. Well, and I don't really I mean, I'm just like, you know, I don't know nothing. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't really give a fuck what they're doing.
Right.
You know? I really don't. I mean, not to be, I'm not trying to be like rude.
But they're not friends of yours.
No, right.
They're coworkers.
Right. Right. So, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know. And then the other thing that I find super obnoxious is people, what passes for, because there's no real interaction or like people trying to like make jokes. So what passes for humor in an office is sarcasm. So it's like, it'll be like, isn't that, you know, somebody will say like, okay, this next project's going to be super exciting, everybody. You know, doing that type of shit. When, like, the joke is, it's actually going to be super fucking tedious and boring.
Right.
But I'm saying it in this, like, sing-song voice, so that's supposed to mean, like, almost kind of like what passes for a joke, you know?
That's what passes for a joke in an office.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful, dude.
Do you feel emasculated sitting in there all day long?
I really do. And I've been, you know, I work in an environment where I can, like, listen to, like, until I just resolved when I started back up to, I'm only going to listen to audiobooks. Because, like, for the last, you know, 5 years, I've just been listening to podcasts. I've logged, like, probably, I was thinking about it, like, a low estimate would be 9,000 hours of podcasts.
That's great.
Well, it's great except for two things. One, you're listening, and like you're listening to like Bill Burr, Greg Fitzsimmons, right. Adam Carolla.
Right.
And you're thinking like, this is the kind of how I would like to be able to just speak in normal day life.
You can.
But you can't.
You can.
Well, right. Right. But then you'd be fired.
Why? Maybe I need to push the envelope a little bit there.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, but so anyway, so then there's that emasculation part of it where I'm going, okay, this sucks. Where I am sucks. And then, so anyway, I started listening to audiobooks, and then I started, like, the first one I listened to was Lewis and Clark audiobook.
Okay.
And so then...
Read by Lewis?
What's that?
Read by Lewis?
No.
Or Clark?
No. Oh. Read by I don't know who. But
James Earl Jones, maybe.
James Earl Jones, yeah. He's...
And then they entered the Dakota territories.
And then, so I'm listening to that, and, you know, these guys are, like, out, you know, exploring new lands, you know, shooting muskets, fighting Indians, you know, trading, you know, going through the mountains, starving.
And being like, real men.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there smelling right. Your own farts in a cube.
Right. No, even worse, I'm holding in my own farts so that when I go on my break, I can walk out of the skyway and fart up the skyway because I don't want to shit up the air. Yeah,
why do that?
It's brutal. I don't know. It's brutal. So anyway, so point being, I've been reflecting on your many, you know, projects and thinking, Mike doesn't really fuck around.
No.
You don't?
I don't. You don't. What's the point? Life is so short.
Right.
What's with the fake laughing that always goes on in an office?
Dude, that's brutal. And that's another thing I think my career has stalled because I've never fake laughed.
It's an art form. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Like when I come in from the outside and
yeah.
I see a receptionist and she'll say, boy, it's cold out there. Why is that funny?
Yeah, it's not. It's brutal.
Why?
Yeah, fake laughing. But I thought you would learn that. You didn't learn that at Brown, fake laughing?
No, they never went over it. First, because they explained how to live on ramen noodles and dirt.
Because yeah, that is a real skill of fake laughing.
I suppose so.
I mean, look at Robin Quivers. She's been fake laughing for years.
I think she's genuinely
She
laughing.
Does, yeah. I mean, you know, he's funny and stuff, but
Howard, like, Stern's the king.
Right, right. But, I mean, point being, when you listen to shit on the radio, a lot of people are fake laughing.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. So, but, and in offices, a lot of people are fake laughing.
They're always fake laughing, because right. Nothing humorous happens there.
Right. And so, I've had this interaction now, like, with one of my bosses, where this person will come up and, like, do that sarcasm. Like, okay, it's going to be this... I know you're super excited. This is going to be super awesome.
No.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this person doesn't realize that, like, this is, the joke is, you're about to do something really shitty, and I'm going to make you do it, so I'm going to fucking say this stupid fucking remark. And I just sit there, and of course, that's not funny. So I just sit there stone-faced. So everybody in my office thinks I'm like a fucking antisocial asshole because I just sit there stone-faced. Like, yeah, why don't you just come over and go, hey, I need you to do XYZ.
Right.
Okay, that's the job, I know. But you're making it worse by you're drawing attention to the fact that it's tedious and horseshit by trying to make a sarcastic joke that it's not.
Right.
And then I just sit there looking at them, and then they go, oh, Nate never laughs. And it's like, yeah, because I've been here for fucking 5 years and no one has said anything fucking funny.
No, not one thing ever.
Not really. I don't think ever. There's one guy that I used to work with who, and I don't know, it was like right away I got along with him and we fucking, you know, he's like the only guy I ever like would go out to lunch with.
Right.
And, you know, and part of it is, you know, we would just go out and I realize also like I'm a fucking chauvinist, you know.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, you're coming out today. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
Yeah. So, you know, so he and I would just basically go and he's a bachelor. So we would just go and, you know, he would just, we'd just talk about different chicks that we want to bang in the office.
Right.
And make jokes and fucking shit on people. And
that's
stuff.
Healthy. Everybody right. does that.
Right. So, you know, but then he, you know, he's not around anymore. So.
Quit.
So this is just, no, he just went to a different place.
Oh.
So this is an epic saga with no real good end, but. Point being, so that's the environment I find myself in.
Do you think it's fucking you up psychologically?
Yes. I'm fucked up psychologically. No, I think...
You're pent up. There's so many things you'd like to say, but you don't.
It's not even like, I don't feel like, it's like I'm yearning to fucking, you know, it's like I'm not like yearning to make fucking inappropriate remarks, you know? But it's just... I don't know.
You want to be real.
Yeah.
You want to tell people how you're really feeling.
Well, and the chauvinism thing is a problem. I mean, I've talked to my wife about this.
Where does that come from?
It's because I grew up listening to fucking Too Short.
Oh.
You know?
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just like, bitch, 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 make me rich, you know? And like, you know... But that's, like, inappropriate. That's inappropriate for the work environment, you know?
It is.
Yeah. So, and I've got, so I've talked to my wife about this a lot because, like...
And your wife is a learned woman.
She's a learned woman and an ardent feminist.
Okay, ooh.
So, so...
Go with God.
Right. So, you know, that's part of the thing is... You know, there's a certain element of language that's not appropriate for mixed company. But it's just like, I feel like I have to put up with, you know, my wife's bullshit at home, right? So I shouldn't have to do it at work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I shouldn't have to not refer to women as bitches.
Is anybody at work telling you to take the trash out and go give the kids a bath, though?
No. But basically.
Huh.
You know. I don't know. I mean, I didn't mean to turn this into a big, you know.
It's good therapy.
Bitch session, yeah.
Do you feel better? Getting off your chest?
I do, but that's what, so that was my thing is like, again, it's like, you know, I wanted to bring it back to your thing is your philosophy. Because like this guy, this douchebag in the fucking City Pages.
Right.
He makes the point about like, you know, unless you're the kind of person who just likes to create stuff and make stuff, and that's what you are.
Yeah.
So you do.
That's me.
Right.
And I don't feel whole unless I'm doing it.
Right.
I get, like, down.
Right. But so what if, like, when you do your, like, Cosby, right?
You want me to do Bill Cosby for you? I spent a lot of time on Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
The last two episodes of this show.
Okay. Did you do, okay.
I know. But the problem is, Nate. Is that you're not using your masculinity to get out there, you know, and maybe you drop a pill in this girl's drink at work and you have your way with her.
So my question
don't
is,
do as Bill does, just do as Bill says.
So my question is...
So you're like Bill Cosby at home.
Bing, bang, bing.
Cosby in the sheets?
Cosby in the sheets.
Fucking...
I bet he's a jackhammer, too. Everybody just gets in that shit.
But so, and you don't have any qualms about, like, you know, your daughter like listening to this?
No.
Future.
I don't care.
Yeah.
She can listen to it.
When she's of age.
But, you know, I think she'll understand that it's a comedy show. Yeah. I'm being funny.
Yeah.
I don't talk to my wife like that. And I don't talk to like that around my kid.
You don't talk about your big black cock.
God, I wish I could. Yeah. It'd be great to have a big black cock. Just think of the confidence you'd have. Just got stuck with this small Irish dick. I don't even like potatoes.
Oh. You know, it is good having a place to go. Do you have a place currently where you're naked in front of anybody? Do you go to the gym?
I don't go to the gym. And I'll tell you why. Because I think it's a waste of money.
Okay.
I think it's a huge waste of money. I think a gym is nothing but a meat market, essentially. You know, big fat people go there, try to lose weight so they can attract the opposite sex. Okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're not seeing a lot of overweight married guys in there, really. Or they'll join.
Depends where you go.
You know.
Depends where you go.
I'll tell you what. If I got some fat listeners out there, here's how you lose weight. Okay? Ready?
Yeah.
I lost 19 pounds in the past month just doing the Atkins diet. There's a commercial for Atkins, I guess.
There you go.
It's about what you eat, and I do push-ups at home. Occasionally, I do use the Bowflex sitting over there.
Right, I saw that.
But that's all you really need. You don't...
I didn't know that those were real. I thought that those were...
No, that's a real Bowflex from the 90s.
Did you steal that from the Smithsonian or...
Fucking douchebag!
Right. is that the Chuck Norris approved?
I bought it from some guy who had it in his garage.
Did you? Nice.
You know, that's where most Bowflexes live. And
he's in the garage?
Somebody's garage. But it's a good piece of equipment. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
But that's how you lose weight. You know, there's no... point joining a gym, because you won't go. Most people don't go unless they're young and they want to get laid.
Well, I started trying to go again, and I'm actually going the opposite way. I'm trying to put on weight. So I'm doing something called the Go Mad diet.
Never heard of it.
Gallon of milk a day.
Drink
a gallon of milk a day.
No,
add bulk.
I'm trying to get ripped up
because my head, I think, it's continuing to grow large.
Okay.
So I have to try to get the rest of my frame to bulk up so it evens out my head.
So you don't want to look like Charlie Brown.
Right. Right. Exactly. So go mad.
Well, I think you look fine.
Gallon milk a day.
How much weight do you want to put on?
I'm trying to put on 10 pounds.
10 pounds? That's 10
pounds, yeah.
Eat lots of potatoes and drink beer and you'll put weight on that way.
Yeah. Well... I don't know. I've got some goals. I've just set some goals. You know, I'm in this new thing. You know, I told you I listen to 9,000 hours of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard, you know who Joey Diaz is?
No.
He's a comedian. He's like in the Joe Rogan camp.
Okay.
Anyway, I used to always be big into making New Year's resolutions.
Those are so bullshit.
They never stick. But no, then last year I started making New Year's goals. So instead of making a resolution, you make a goal.
How about speak openly in the office for once?
Right. Make a goal. Well, so anyway, yeah, this is going nowhere. I don't know what I'm going to say about that, but speak openly in the office would be more of a, so it would have to be a measurable goal. So it'd be like offend 5 people by June.
Right. Right. Have some fun. It could be like that movie Office Space, you know?
Right.
Where they're all kind of nerds and they never stick up for themselves, and that guy, you know, everybody's seen it, or anybody that's cool has seen it.
Right.
And then he acts like himself and he gets promoted.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I don't know.
So what else did you want to get into on that list of yours?
Well, that's so, I guess it's not as big of a topic as I thought it was, because to me, I thought being, you know, we're both born in 1975.
Right? I was born in 74.
74. So, you know, I remember reading, this is a few years back, somebody said, like, you know, there's some survey of the, like, you know, everybody, like, basically, like, if you're born in 1975, that's, like, the cutoff year of whether you're, like, super involved with the internet or just, like, sort of, you know, basically people younger than us grew up with it, right?
Right.
So, my... what I thought was going to be more of a topic is how does that impact this type of a conversation where obviously before it was like part of a permanent record, people would just say or do whatever the fuck they want. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure like my grandpa, like never swore in front of me, never said anything bad, but like he was like a fucking brawling laboring guy.
Right. Yeah.
So obviously he said
a real man.
Yeah.
So he'd stand up for himself in a fucking office.
No, he didn't work in an office.
Well, right? If he did, he'd fucking set those people straight. Right, quit fucking fake laughing at me, you goddamn snapperhead.
Right.
What the hell's funny about the weather?
Right.
And if you're going to give me a shitty assignment, just say, here's a shitty assignment.
Right. So there'd be no... So there would be no... You know, he didn't have to worry about, like, his digital footprint.
No.
You know? But, on the other hand, so then how does that affect, like, kids who are... Like, our kids, right?
Mm.
If they want to engage, you know... Like, part of it is, like, do I need to get out there and fucking engage with the shit to be a part of, like, the current culture? You know what I mean? Are people who aren't putting their fucking opinions... Like, am I going to be part of a dying generation of people who don't fucking put their opinions on the internet? You know?
Well, you could be like a troll. You know what a troll is on Facebook?
Yeah.
I kind of troll around, and I'll leave smart-ass comments on people's posts. You know, I don't really post a lot. You know, I'll post my show.
Yeah.
And promote the hell, like, out of that ad nauseum.
Tell people like their kids are ugly.
No, I'm not that. I'm not a dick. But, you know, it's like the right-wing conservatives are like my favorite target.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't consider myself a liberal.
Yeah.
But I suppose I am a Democrat.
Yeah.
If I'm going to work with labels.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do like taking cheap shots at those assholes.
Yeah.
And their gun posts, you know, everybody right. should own a gun. Or, you know, we should deport all of the illegal labor in Florida and California that's picking our food.
Yeah.
Just right. dumb shit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'll yeah. usually mix it up with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just, know?
Just fucking just throw little bombs on their shit.
Right. I'd yeah. start shit with them.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. Because I hate conservatives.
Yeah.
I hate, what are they? The teabaggers?
Teabaggers, yeah.
Tea party, whatever they are.
Yeah.
I hate those pricks too.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I've gone the other way. I'm not that I've gone the other way, like, to be in a Republican, but, like, I'm not, like, I just, and this actually, this relates to something. This, I had actually wrote this down on, because the only time I ever unprotected my tweets was, do you remember when, what was the Sandy Hook, where the uh-huh. shot up the kids in the school?
Yeah.
So everybody's going on Twitter, fucking having a, you know, Twitter argument about gun control, right? And there's a guy that I followed. His name's Arnold Dash. You know, he's some kind of a, you know, I think he's like the original fucking blogger or something. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I don't know exactly what he does, but I started following him. He has like 300,000 followers, right? So I started following him. And then this thing came up. And then right after that happened, you know, he put out a tweet saying, okay, every rational person can agree that we should have mental health checks before you get a license to have a gun, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not even saying that I disagreed with that, but in my mind, it wasn't so clear that it's like, you know, he says like every rational person should think this. So then I responded on Twitter. I unprotected my shit. I responded on Twitter and I said, yeah, quoted what he said, every rational person should say this. And then I said, this is Arnold Dash defining the terms of the argument, right?
Okay.
Basically saying, like, if you disagree with me, you're fucking a crazy person, right?
Right.
And then he immediately responded to me saying, you disagree? And at that moment, I realized, okay, this guy has 300 fucking thousand people who know who he is and follow him and give a shit about his opinion.
Right.
And now he's calling me out on the carpet just about questioning the fact that he is saying everyone who disagrees with him is a crazy person.
Uh-huh.
And so then I just protected my... I just went back in my fucking...
You should have mixed it up with him.
Right, but here's the thing. What do I have to gain from doing that? I have nothing to gain from doing that.
Personal pride.
Right, but why do I... I don't need... I mean...
Just get your rocks off. Just go after them. You have two goddamn degrees. He's going to try to mix it up with a mathematician lawyer? Good luck.
Right.
You would have fucking trashed him. You would have been the new fucking king blogger.
No, you wouldn't be. What I would be is I'd be some dude who, like, fucking 50,000 fucking arch liberals, who, by the way, I'm like the king, you know, arch liberal.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, all of a sudden fucking people are shitting on me and fucking...
Who cares? Let them shit. I had a death threat. I went after somebody about a conservative topic, and some guy wanted to meet me and have a fight with me.
Really?
Over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Yeah.
You know? I should have met him and knocked his fucking block off. Yeah, need some more real men with a little piss and fucking vinegar.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. Is like, I'm just like, what is the fucking purpose of it? What? I mean, here's my thing. Is I'm like, if I'm not... Here's another thing. Right when I joined Twitter, here's why I kept my shit protected, my tweets. Because when I joined Twitter, I read some commentary where somebody made the point that people who have shitloads of followers on Twitter, it's because they're already famous for something else. There's like two people. There's like the shit my dad says guy and Rob Delaney.
Okay.
Like two people who like became famous from Twitter. And there's two guys that I like, Kid Mero and Desus Nice, that I'm a fucking big fan of. I've been following them for a long time. They're popping now, they're on MTV.
Free plug.
Free plug. Shout out to them. And fucking... But other than that, every fucking person who has shitloads of followers, it's because they're famous doing other shit.
Uh-huh.
So there's no... I don't get any fucking benefit from having my opinions on Twitter. There's no benefit of that.
It's just fun. Twitter's just fun.
Yeah. Maybe it's just not fun for me. Maybe that's what I'm learning. Maybe that's what you're helping.
I think you need to... You need to mix it up.
Fucking throw it on the mic, dude. I'm done.
You just need to mix it up with somebody, dude, and just trash somebody on Twitter.
I'm just going
to
trash you.
You can trash me all you want. I'm the one with the form, though. I'd be careful.
You're no Arnold Dash, dude.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so that's it. You know, I guess that we've exhausted that topic, dude. So basically, your opinion is, who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to fucking... fuck with people in public.
Well, it's just not... I don't just pick fights to pick fights. I pick them because I don't agree.
Right.
There's too many bullies on Facebook that post their crap about conservative, you know...
About the fucking New World Order.
New World Order, and we hate the immigrants, and everybody should own 10 guns, and this, that, and other thing, and I just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
So I'll just let them know.
Yeah.
If you don't want me to argue with you, then don't put it out there.
Right, right.
I've had lots of people defriend me.
Yeah.
As a result, I still don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I've encouraged people to defriend me.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
I had a woman defriend me once because she put a lame post up about, it was like an office post. I feel guilty staying home from work today. And she's probably going to hear this and she's going to hate on me. I don't give a shit. I stayed home from work today because it's Friday and I had the day off and I feel bad for staying home on a Friday. Oh, well, now I'm going to go up to my parents' cabin and roast a fucking marshmallow. I thought it was fucking stupid. So I copied it line for line and then I used it as my own post. And I got away with it for, I don't know, 6 hours. If I could get away with it for a whole day, I was just going to move on to her next post.
Yeah, yeah.
And just keep copying her posts until she caught on. It was just a joke. I like her, you know?
Yeah.
Outside of Facebook, I like her.
In real life.
Yeah, but I don't like her little fucking fakery post. So I trashed her.
No fake shit.
No, and she found out and she got really upset. And she defriended me.
Right.
Wah. Don't care. You didn't defriend me in real life. You defriended me on Facebook land. Facebook is like a big fucking litter box for me to shit in.
So Facebook is like your World of Warcraft.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
You interact in the social media sphere as... So it's not even real people.
No, these are just pictures of people.
You just approach it as though this is like a made-up world.
Yeah.
for you to just say and do anything you want.
Yes. That's what's there for me to take a dump on. And keep listening to my podcast. And keep liking it on Facebook, by the way. But you're so scared of that. I don't know why. You gonna run into these people?
Here's the thing. I took on the attitude right away that Facebook is for chicks, and because I'm a chauvinist, I don't fucking want to do some chick shit. I don't want to fucking talk about. I don't want to fucking.
Then don't.
Right. So I don't.
Just post things that are meaningful to you. Share things that are meaningful to you.
I don't want to share. I don't want
to. You'd be surprised at what you're willing to share once you're on there. I'll take my friend Paul. Again, as an example. Okay. I mean, he doesn't post much stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
But when he finds something that's meaningful to him,
yeah,
like local Indianapolis politics that right. nobody could give a shit about. I mean,
was he talking about local Indianapolis politics?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He was a bureaucrat for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he had an office and he had no real power. And,
yeah.
And he left. Because he didn't agree with the way some things were being run.
Yeah.
And he, for a while, he got passionate about a few issues going on in Indianapolis city politics, and he would share those.
Yeah.
You know?
Whether to repave the speedway.
You know, should kids be allowed to just keep dropping out of school in the 7th grade, or should they be required to go all the way to grade 12? Can we not make 3 the state number? God rest Dale Earnhardt. But he's just not that important.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, stuff that's meaningful to him.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Yeah. And you can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't comment on nothing unless you really got a passionate opinion about it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I think I'm just antisocial. I just don't want to fucking hear. I don't want to fucking, I look at it as like, my opinion, that's not an original opinion, is just like, if there's people that I haven't fucking seen in years and years, I don't need them fucking looking up, you know what I mean? Looking at pictures of my kids and fucking. But maybe, like you say, it's not real life anyway. They're still not in your life. They're just on your computer when you're scrolling through.
Right. These are just some people you knew in high school or some people you knew in one of your various colleges. And you liked them a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't got to friend everybody either. That's a thing. You can be very selective about who can look at your pictures.
Do you feel like you're talking to like your
I
grandpa?
Feel like I'm giving therapy, and I feel like you're going to owe me like $200.
Do you feel like you're talking to your grandpa right now?
No.
Explain.
I feel like Facebook. I feel like here's my friend that I've known for over 20 years, you know, and in high school he's
ready to come out of his social media.
I'm ready to break him out of his shell with...
with your big black cock.
With my big black cock and with Bill Cosby's big black cock. Just two cocks in my hand. And I'm going to break this fucking shell off. And I'm going to let this beautiful little baby chick come out. And let it start hopping about. That's what I want to do for you. You spent too much time in a office.
You want to hit me with two big black cocks?
Yes. I think you need it.
Yeah.
Not in a gay way. Just in a loving way. You just spend too much goddamn time in your own head, busy with your podcast and staring at your computer screen.
Oh, it's brutal.
You know?
Yeah.
Haven't had any real conversations in God knows how long, probably.
Yeah. Well, I talked to my cousin who, by the way, wanted me to fucking say, when I told him I was coming here, he said, tell him thank you for contributing to all of his truancy.
Which cousin was this?
You know my cousin.
Just a first name, no less. Maybe he's not scared of having a first name go out on a podcast that maybe 100 people listen to. Aaron, I got to think about that.
Well, he didn't leave much of an impression.
Not really.
Anyway.
Your brother did, though. Your brother I'm a fan of.
Yeah. Well, so that's the other thing I wanted to, just to change gears. I really like your pad, man. It's a nice crib.
Thank you.
And as I was watching the lights of the city disappear
dim
to do a pinpoint in my fucking on the horizon in my rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners, you know, I'm not somebody who says literally when they mean figuratively.
Right.
Literally, the next exit on the freeway is a fucking Indian trading post. That's how far we are from fucking civilization, dude.
Maybe this is the ideal spot for you.
Yeah.
get out of the city. I mean, just think how isolated you could be out here.
Well, no, I was going to say, because I have always lived with, like, I fucking don't like the suburbs. I hate the suburbs.
I'm not a fan either.
No. Right. But when I always, whenever time I come out to someone's crib in the suburbs, I'm like, oh, I can see the appeal because you have a nice new fucking house.
Right.
You know, that's not fucking...
with nice, boring neighbors on a nice, boring fucking street where nothing ever fucking happens.
So what happened? So how'd you end up out here then?
If you don't, I just got roped into it, dude. I think I got Cosby'd.
You got Cosby'd?
I think I got a roofie dropped into my diet due.
You got a roofie in the next
Let's
year.
Let's buy a house in Shakopee. Here, look this way. Right. Oh, what? Boom. Pill goes into the pop.
Did your wife grow up in the burbs?
My wife grew up in Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. Is that Apple Valley?
Yeah. Okay. I never call it Apple Valley.
Awful Valley? Call it Awful Valley.
Terrible split street Apple Valley.
Yeah.
You ever driven through Apple Valley?
Yeah.
Why is every goddamn road divided by like a cement, you know, what is that called?
Island.
Island. Everything's a goddamn island.
Median.
Yes. Everything is. Everything's a fucking strip mall. Everything's divided. Yeah. Every house is the same fucking color.
Yeah.
I don't like the suburbs. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm out here because my wife works out here, and the schools are good out here.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
Yeah.
But when my kid's out of school, I'm going right the fuck back into the Thunderdome. Yeah. Right back into Minneapolis.
Thunderdome.
Yes.
Dude, that's one thing I've been thinking about. I've been reflecting on that because, like, growing up, obviously, you know, like, we went to a pretty shitty high school.
That wasn't that bad.
It was pretty bad. I mean, comparatively. It wasn't, like, South Central LA bad. But for Minnesota, it was pretty much the bottom of the fucking barrel.
No, that would be North.
Okay. Well, when we went there, it was close fucking contender.
I never felt physically threatened or scared.
No, I didn't feel physically threatened or scared, but when I went to college, I had to fucking start over in every class that I had because I didn't learn jack shit. So, you know, and growing up, I always justified it thinking like, well, I'm in the city, so, you know, you can't put a price on the education I'm getting from being, you know,
street smart.
Yeah, yeah, I'm street smart, blah, blah. Then you come to find out, people who fucking grew up in Eden Prairie, they don't give a fuck about street smarts. They don't care. All they do is... like, nobody we went to school with was a vice president of any shit anywhere in any school, or you know what I mean?
Right.
Or, and not in school, but like, you know what I mean? In like a business.
Well, we don't know that. I don't know where half of the... well, I did go to my high school reunion. There's no captains of industry there. No.
Right.
A lot of ex-jocks.
Right. So, but point being, like, what I've come to find out and realize is that people who do go to a shitty inner city high school pay lip service, or, you know, they maybe really believe that it's like somehow like this intangible, really great benefit.
There is a benefit to it. Not a super great one, but there is a benefit to it. Well, are you waiting for me to explain the benefit?
Well,
the benefit is diversity. The benefit is learning to live and get along with people of all races.
I didn't realize that you were such a fucking bleeding heart, dude.
The heart isn't bleeding, but there is a I mean, I could have gone...
I thought you would always give me shit about being liberal.
I grew up, you know?
You grew up and became liberal?
I'm not liberal. I don't like labels. I grew up a little bit, and I just saw the world for what it is. Had the blinders taken off. When you start paying your own bills, the fucking blinders come off. And I kind of threw away all the Republican stuff. I grew out of it. Some people never grow out of being a Republican.
Yeah.
I grew out of it because I got smarter and older.
Yeah.
And I realized how the world works.
See, I'm going the other way, dude. Because we'll work on that. The world works as no one... here's my current view. No one gives a shit. Really, no one gives a shit about diversity. I mean, some people do, right? But, like, ultimately, it's not going to... like, the people now that I see in the Skyway who are, like, vice presidents of shit...
uh-huh.
It's not because they're, like, familiar with, like, diversity.
Sure.
It's because they're, you know, they...
got good educations and a few breaks and...
yeah, they got... they studied business. They got good grades. They blah, blah, blah... and no one was ever like, what we really need is somebody who is used to being in a multicultural, diverse environment, you know? No, that's not at like the top levels. That's not what people give a shit about, right?
I'm the president of a company.
Superior Sound.
That's right.
Is it time for a commercial?
It is time. Minnesota Superior Sound is Minnesota's number one mobile DJ service. And that's self-appointed.
According to Minnesota Superior Surveys.
According to Minnesota Superior Sound surveys that aren't documented anywhere.
Yes.
But we do provide a great service. We specialize in weddings. Visit us at MinnesotaSuperiorSound.com. Fill out a booking form if you need a DJ. And if you mention the podcast, you'll get a $50 discount on your show. And just, that's coming from the CEO, Mike Winter, who went to a public school.
And just as a tip, if you go back and listen to episode 3, and mention episode 3, you get a...
Oh, really?
You did say that.
Shit.
You might have to.
Well, that was just episode 3, so they're going to have to say that one specifically.
Right.
And then I'll just raise the rate $50. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
So, but, yeah. Well, and then also you mentioned that funerals. Have you done a funeral before?
No.
I was thinking if you did a funeral, would like the DJ at a funeral would just be like constantly going like, all right, we're going to slow it down this time.
I did do a wedding where I saw a bride get punched in her face.
Really?
By the groom. By accident.
Oh, by accident?
Yeah, he was actually swinging at a guy that was grinding on his new bride.
Oh, really?
And he missed. Well, the
and
guy
he punched
that,
his wife.
And he caught his wife square right in the right eye. So then after that, it was a bit like a funeral.
So then did you like...
I just sat there. I said, what the hell do you play after something like that? So I just went with Barry
on, like,
Manilow.
Saturday is the night for fight or whatever.
Oh, Saturday night. Saturday. No, I just played some Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah. Something real calm.
Oh.
Because it was really tense.
What? So do you have any other like good war stories of Superior Sound?
Oh, I've been flashed a million times.
Really?
Only bridesmaids.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Nice. Nice.
They're still waiting to be the one. God bless them. You know, and they get a little lonely, a little drunk.
Nice.
They start showing boobies.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I've seen plenty of things over my years.
Yeah.
I didn't always own my own company. I worked for somebody else who's, I think, now out of business.
But yeah.
Yeah, I saw plenty of shit over the years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been an interesting life.
It's been a long,
so far.
It's been a long, crazy journey.
It has. I'm going to keep it that way, too.
Good for you, man.
I'm not going to turn into some dick that sits in a cube and listens to podcasts and doesn't talk to people.
Right on, man. Well, where are we at, dude?
Where are we at for time?
Yeah.
We're at the 1 hour mark.
1 hour mark.
It goes by quick, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Mike, when I'm talking to you, what do I have on my notes here? No fake laugh. I got some notes that I took on Big G.
Oh, my dad. You want to discuss my father?
No. It's BS.
Anxious. Well, I'm looking forward to the follow-up because so far, I think you guys have a good rapport.
We have a great rapport.
You do.
40 years in the making.
One thing I noticed is, it was like the beginning of the first week of the playoffs, I think, when you released your first podcast and you were like making picks for like week 7.
Right. Well, it took my web producer a bit of time
to get it up
to build the website. So I was just making shows.
There's a bit of a lag.
So yeah, there's a lag.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually you'll just get caught up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Big G should be a regular.
He's a radio star.
He is.
He's a big, bright, shining star.
Bing, bang, bing.
He is.
I should call him in Texas. He's down there on vacation.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's a card.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the second installment of Big G.
So you listen to a lot of podcasts. I mean, where do I fall in that?
I'd say you're right up with the top 10 that I've listened to in the last month.
Seriously? Well, I appreciate that. Thank
you. No, it's good. Here's the thing, and I mean this sincerely, and this sounds like a backhanded compliment, but like,
okay,
it's just as good as, I guess it's not a backhanded compliment. Well, like, here's the thing. Like, you listen to these ones, and it's the same thing as like with the Twitter thing. When you listen to a lot of the podcasts, these guys are no more funny or interesting to listen to than you are.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they're already famous.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So, they have more people listening because they're already fucking famous, right?
Right.
But, I mean, this is why I've started listening to audiobooks now, and I'm fucking through with podcasts because, except for...
Mine.
Wisecracking with Winter.
Thank you.
Is because I've listened to, like, 9,000 hours, and, like, 6,000 are, like, comedians bitching about being on the road. You know what I mean?
I've heard that podcast.
I don't... Yeah. It's everyone.
I listened to... why does his name escape me now? We got to fill for a second, Nate.
My number one guy is Greg Fitzsimmons. That's my
Yeah, he's funny.
That's my guy.
That's not my number one guy.
And
my,
Bill Burr. I've been listening to Bill Burr for like 5 years.
My number one guy is Jim Florentine.
Oh, yeah. He's funny. He does some funny fucking... dude, I was fucking dying. I think I might have even sent you a link to... you know, when he, like, when telemarketers call, he fucking records it, and he just fucking is.
I've done that twice. I haven't played them yet on my podcast, but I borrowed that idea from Jim.
Oh.
And so...
He just fucking lays into them.
Like the abortion one?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, he had a telemarketer call him, and he pretended he was doing a home abortion. So we had a vacuum cleaner running and some girl screaming bloody murder and some guy in the background screaming, I don't know what to do next. You need to get off the phone. I think she's really bleeding. I don't know what to do next.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
It was pretty messed up. He ended up having cops come to his house.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the one I heard was just, you know, some guy selling insurance and he was just like, you know, the guy says something, and as soon as there's a pause, he's like, okay, bitch. And then the guy's like, what? He starts getting mad. He's like, you're just a fucking dick trying to sell some, you know, horseshit products to people, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
Funny, yeah.
So, I like him a lot.
Well, this has been podcast chat.
It has.
Yeah, so I've been listening to fucking, I've logged a lot of fucking hours, dude.
You're almost a podcasting expert. How about if you could give me any advice, what could you give me?
I think the main thing is you got to be fucking consistent. You got to fucking when's your release date every week?
Every week.
Yeah.
There's a new one.
But I'm saying what day?
Me and Mitch are working on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's supposed to be Saturdays, but then this week it got a little goofed up and it was Friday.
Yeah, be consistent. I think editing is worthwhile, especially on this one where I'm fucking rambling on with no fucking point.
I won't touch it. I'll leave it alone.
Well, you got to bleep my fucking name out because I don't want my shit out in the public.
I don't know how to do that yet, so I'll figure it out.
Fucking, yeah, I mean, you know, I just think you just keep going at it and it's good to have topics. It's good to have, you know, like the horse, the guy smoking weed and sucking horse cock.
Right.
You know, that's evergreen. You know what I mean? That's not going away. That's always going to be entertaining.
It's always there for you.
That's two. I just want to point out that that's two unrelated incidents. Like, no amount of smoking weed makes a person do that.
Oh, okay.
That's just a...
From experience?
That was, yeah. That was just... Those are two... One didn't have to do with the other. It was just like a detail.
Okay.
Like I happen to have been smoking weed.
You ever thought about doing your own podcast?
I mean, I've thought about it because, like I said, like I have conversations, like regular conversations with people on the phone where, to me, I'm like, I think it's fucking funny as shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
But then I think, I don't know, I just don't fucking do it. And like, you know, it's like with the jerk-offs and jalopies thing, you know? It's like a lot of work. And then at the end of the day, I'm just like, why? This doesn't serve any purpose for me. I'm not like you, where I fucking need to create it.
It doesn't need to have a purpose. It just needs to exist.
Just needs to exist.
Dude, yeah.
You're like a fucking Zen Buddhist.
I am a bit.
Dude, you went from a Catholic Republican to a Zen Buddhist liberal. What happened, dude?
I don't know. I just got older.
Dude, is there something in the water out here?
What's I spent a lot of time
too much
with
fluoride, dude.
Tav Buechler.
Tav?
You know? Tav.
You still talk to Tav?
I do. Well, but that's kind of unrelated. But I guess we should wrap it up.
Yeah, let's shut her down.
If you'd like to get a hold of me at Wisecracking at Winter and maybe have a show topic or a comment about the program, please get a hold of me at wisecrackingwithwinter@gmail.com or you can leave a message on the site. And that's, what is the website?
Getwisecracking.com.
Thank you. Rich. GetWisecracking.com.
No, here's a quick point. I'm sorry to dwell on this, but there's two points. A.
Okay.
The show is called Wisecracking.
Mm-hmm.
An apostrophe.
Mm-hmm.
The website is GetWisecracking.
No, it's GetWisecracking. C-R-A-C-K-I-N. GetWisecracking.com.
All right.
Holding it. Looking at it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm Mike Winter, and for my... and for Richie Barrister, thank you for joining us. And have a good day. Now fuck off.